We're up to Dav Zayin on the Beis, Shafat and Tzedek. Let's keep 5 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara was in the midst of darshaning the relationship of the Dayan overall to Din, Emat HaDin, the responsibility of the Dayan and so on. The way he has to view the chashivut of the din, how carefully he has to deal with the din. It was still in the middle of these drashot. And here we're darshaning, continuing the mishpatim theme. Mishafatem tzedek. The shafatem tzedek now is back to Moshe Rabbeinu who's giving over the idea of dayanut. Shafatem tzedek, on Rish Lakish, this means that's obviously that the mishpat should be tzedek, we've had mentioned many times. But it means that you should be shofet that which was already tzedek. How does that work? So as Rish Lakish, it means tzedek et hadin, v'achakach chotcheihu. In other words, what you have to do is you have to go through first all the various issues in your mind until it's clear to you that there's no suffix about the tzedek. And only then be chotech the din in its final form. But don't allow things to evolve following a chituch that's not absolutely clear. Someone will bring down new arguments and so on. Have everything beyond safek to yourself, and then be chotech the din. Bein ish, bein achiv, bein gero, to absolutely cut it. Right. You know, say what it is, then there's nothing more to discuss. Very often you have people that keep their options open. They talk about, well, you'll find, unfortunately today, a great deal of Hiskei Halachos that really leave you holding the bag. So, but how in fact do we apply this and so on? People don't want to go out on a limb. But the element of giving over Mishpat, to be absolutely clear, give people clear guidelines without leaving things up in the air. So the Bein Ish u Bein Achiv would refer to, Omer of Yudas, as Afilu Bein Bait La Aliyah. So here it's talking about Bein Ish u Bein Achiv, would generally be a question of Yerusha. So here it's saying that even in a case where, let's say, a house falls to two sons in a Yerusha, you have to be Baki in the differences between one of them owning the second story and one of them owning the first story, and taking into consideration the changes in values and so on. You can't do things loosely. You need to be an absolute bookie even in things like that. Uben Gero, this would have to do with living in the house. That would mean Amr Vira Filo Ben Tanur Likiraim. The same if you have now, if you have a case in which you have two homes that were left, let's say, to two of the sons, and one of them is equipped with a pizza oven, and the other one is equipped only with a regular oven. So you have to know the difference in that type of evaluation. As well, others learn that this is referenced to Ben Gero, is the difference between Tanur and Kiraim, which we have in the Gemara, about the distance that you have to leave between the Tanur and the Kiraim the floor, and the Tanur and the Kiraim and the Aliyah, so that between the bottom and the top would directly relate the Tanur and the Kiraim, different amounts of heat and so on. So the Dayan, there's nothing that is too petty for the Dayan to have to get involved in, this is what it says. And no thing should be left to just work it out somehow, where it's approximately the same, so who cares and so on. Every last element is something that's meant to be in your expertise.
That's another element that
Rashi explained
the time
is
spent in
Tanur
the dirtiest place in the house
is the boat. It's true. Lo Can we please have Richie's place made available here?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There we go.
So Lo Takiru Panim Ba Mishpat, this means not that you should arbitrarily decide I want this guy or the other guy. It means Rabbi Yudomer Lo Takirehu. It means don't recognize someone that you know. If you have somebody that's an old friend of yours, do not act with that person in any way that would imply that you actually know him. In other words, don't greet him in some sense. Because the very greeting of him, oh, shalom aleichem, already puts the other party at a disadvantage. Others say lo takiru is in the sense of lo tenachrehu. Now, this is somebody that you can't stand. Don't treat him any differently. So you don't have to go all the way. I mean, even though Rashi says lechaivo, that is to allow yourself to be influenced by that. And others will say that I don't need the pasuk for that. Because it comes to mean that in terms of the personal elements of the relationship between the dayan and the individual that's working in, there should be no recognition of anything personal, whatever. The dayan is as if you're talking to a machine.
How does the Torah expect that a person can overcome his human emotions and say, well, I'm going to block that out? And the dayan recuse. They don't allow it. They know you.
Well, no, that's true here, too. If it's if there's a relationship that might involve you, of course you're puzzled within. But as we'll talk about. But we're not talking about a relationship that would be mechayev in any way.
Which is the casual,
not mechayev, even if you're a good friend of the guy.
Yeah.
Excuse yourself from guidance.
Yeah. Well, here too, we'll see. We're actually going to have cases like that. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo tenachrehu. And there was actually a case where Ushpazich made the Rav, us lekame levinana. There's two girsaot over here. So the way that we have the girsa, it's that the ushpazich, meaning the individual who is in charge of the boarding house, and then people would board Talmidim. And Rav was staying in this person's boarding house. So he comes to Rav Ladina. Omar Lo, again, our girsa has, the owner says to Rav, you remember, of course, Lavush Pazichni, aren't you my guest? Omaloin, I am indeed. Omarle Dina Isli, well, I have to come to you this morning in a court case. Omarle Pasilma Lachaladina, well, I'm sorry, but I can no longer deal with you as a judge because you've mentioned that I'm your guest. So, in the very fact that he was master, the Tova, he disqualified himself from the din. Now there's another gears that it has over here, after he says, in, Omale Mai Ba'ita, what do you want? Omale Dina it. Now that would mean that it's the other way around. A guy walks in, Rob looks at him and says, gee, I know you, aren't you you're the person that I live with, right? He says, yeah. So what are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm here for a court case. Not that the other person had said anything. And Rob said, well, I just the fact that I'm living by you is sufficient to disqualify me from the din. According to that, it wasn't because the person had mentioned anything. And that actually, the Marshal backs that Yusuf, and there seems to be a lot of ancient sources for it. But in our sugi, it was only because the man had attempted to point out that he knows him that Rob threw him out. So this, again, this is not Mi'ikar Hadin, because we'll see later on what is defined by Mi'ikar Hadin, but certainly Rav wanted to be machmir against any shemets of people thinking that he knew the guy and was therefore influenced. So anyway, whatever the case was, Rav turns to Rav Kahana, who was in the courtroom, and says to him, there's a problem, but folk dine, you take care of this case. So Chaz Yadavik Goyes Day. Now Rav Kahana sees that the man is acting a little bit on a high horse. So he's talking as if he's in a special position vis-a-vis the court, because after all he's a friend of Rav, and Rav couldn't judge him himself, so somebody else will take care of it, and so on. So Rav Kahana said to him, listen here, buddy, eat saita saita. If you sit there and you respond the way you're supposed to respond to my orders, that's fine. V'ilo, I'll break Rav out of your rotten ears, and meaning we'll put you into cherem until you behave like a nice little boy, and then you can come back. Kikatan kigadol tishmaun. What does this mean? You have to respond with the same involvement, care, excitement of a din of one penny as a din of mea mana, as a din of $1 billion. It makes absolutely no difference. Well, Lamai Yilchot, in terms of what it makes no difference. I mean, Lema Leunipe, Umisake, if you're talking about in terms of knowing the din, working it out, and passing it, obviously it makes no difference. Why in the world would I need a pasuk to tell me it makes no difference? Pshita. Ela lakdumi, lakdumi, what it means is that if a case for a pruta comes in front of you, then you've got this massive oil case in which the state of Alaska is suing for $100 trillion, and they say, well, do you think maybe you could put off this case for a pruta and take us first? And the halacha says, no, it's exactly the same din, with exactly the same importance. It's the din that's the issue here, not the money. Yeah, with the Supreme Court Justice in Alaska, that's why I mentioned Alaska. Right. Yeah, the guy, it's interesting, he was he met the yeshiva in a supermarket in Fairbanks. Of course, it's a really strange case. This is a Supreme Court Justice of the Alaskan Supreme Court, and he was a great-grandson of the Ramah. It's unbelievable. So here, I mean, he's living, God knows, I mean, the merchak from any connection to Judaism is unbelievable. And he sees, all of a sudden, he walks into a local supermarket and sees a yeshiva in the supermarket, and the guy totally flipped out. Because he invites everybody over to his house, he takes out his yichus, and he has a ksav yichus all the way back to the Ramah, and he's saying, you know, we have a long history of being dayanim in the family. So when he's talking, it's interesting to see the difference. Didn't we invite him afterwards to be the guest speaker at the graduation? I think so. In any event, so he was talking about the chashivas of the dinim that come before him, and that was one of the cases. Was you know, he's talking about how the dinim that they have are like billions and billions of dollars, oil cases and so on. Not recognizing that that's a chisaron to us to hear, you know, like this is important. What's the napkinina? It makes absolutely no difference. It's the chashivas of the impact to them that makes the difference. That's already an important case. And this is a trivial case. This is the pasuk saying there's no such thing as a trivial case. Why would anybody look at it any differently?
So they print the larger case has the sense of impact.
Right, but that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that the impact is far more important in terms of din in the world rather than the case in the world. So in other words, and this is bichlal the way that the Torah looks at din. Din is the support of creation. That's the union of the Messalic, the Shechina of Yisrael, and so on. But din is the mode by which creation functions. There's law. Everything that we see, as opposed to chaos, that we identify as existence in our terms, is law. That is, these are the patterns of law. So for you to be mafriya din on any level, make absolutely no difference. Let's say, suddenly we'll just make a small distinction today in the value of Planck's constant, you understand? This is a minor issue. I mean, after all, it's a sort of minus 23rd power. Is it really going to make a difference, you understand? And, you know, one supports life and one doesn't support life. And those are the issues. The elements over here are critical. Law is critical. And that's what it's saying. There's no such thing. What do we mean in terms of the impact? I mean, that's an absurd. Whose impact? One impact. I mean, a couple of people happen to exist at this particular instant and so on. I mean, that's not the point. So that's ki hamishpat le'elohim hu. We had this before, in which Rashi had said that was the pshat when we said yesterday, you remember who you're judging. You're judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And this is part of the idea, because ultimately, mishpat of you, meaning the ultimate balance of the world, is God's. And therefore, what you're judging in that is judging God himself, because he's the one that has to get involved in restoring harmony. So, Amar Chama Rabbi Chanina Amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayan l'rshayim, shindotzlin mizem mamon v'notnim lezeh shelo kedin. It's not bad enough that Rishayim, Dayanim, who passed in Shaloka Halacha, would take money away from a human being to another, but rather they expect that the ultimate harmony in creation, I'll take care of that. Then Moshe Rabbeinu continues, and this is a troublesome thing, after saying how the Dayanim are supposed to treat everybody, he says at the end of the pasuk, v'hadavar asher yikshev ichem takrivan elai. Whatever is tough for you, bring it to me. It sounds a little bit hoity-toity. says Rabbi Yoshia, or says Amar Chanina Vitema Rabbi Yoshia, Al Davaze Ne'nash Moshe. We find that Moshe was punished for this, because there are very striking things in which someone brought him a davar kasha, and he didn't have any idea, and he had to take that davar kasha and bring it to God in exactly the same lashon. It says, takrivan elai, and there, benot zlapcha, come to Moshe with a question, and says, vayakrev Moshe, mishpatan l'sei Hashem. So it's as if it's taking the very words, bring it to me, and here it says, and Moshe brings it in front of Hashem, which is what he should have perhaps said it originally. So it seems that his not being able to pask an halacha to Berot Zlokhad was because of the way he phrased this pasuk. Matkip la Renachem by Yitzchak. Renachem by Yitzchak attacked that approach. Because if that's all he had said, or if the end of the pasuk was Va'ashmiachem, and I will let you know what the din is, you'd be right. But what is the closing word of the pasuk? Ushema'ati, Steve. Bring it to me and I will hear. Now, I will hear implies that it's sort of open-ended. In other words, I will hear to see if I know it. And if I don't know it, then I'll take the next step and present it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and find out what the halakha is for you. So there's nothing here that implies anything egocentric at all. So, miktiv v'ashmiachem u'shma'ativ ktiv. It says, and I will hear it, meaning, igabirna, and then I'll see. If I know it, gamirna, fine, then I'll tell you, of course. V'ilo, and if I don't know, hazalina v'gamirna, I'll go and learn it. Elakitatanya, the truth that the benot zlapchad issue is not because of a pagam in Moshe. Rather, it's the way we learn it in this braita. U'ya parashat nachalot, shetikateva yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Elashazachu benot zlapchad, v'nichtavu ayadan. Ruya haita parshat mekoshesh, shetikateva yide Moshe Rabbeinu. Elashinitchayev mekoshesh, v'nichtava yado. The truth is that these parshiot were not written, as the Rashbam explained back in Bava Basra, were not written as a response to the situation. As if to say, if Benot Zlapchad had not initiated the case here, that we would never know the Dinei Nachalos. Or if there hadn't been the case of the Mekoshesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu would never have had to teach us what the Chiyuv of Nisei is on Shabbos at a Skila, which wasn't known. Obviously, these things would have had to have been taught in some other context or venue. However, the reason that things worked out in this fashion was to show that when somebody is Zocher, they are Zocher to a place that is forever defined. So, B'dot Zlapchad, with their concern, and actually we saw that the whole parak of Yeshanochman is built around Benot Zlapchad, which is an amazing thing. Constant review of the details of what they had asked, what the response was, and so on. So this teaches us that when someone is Zoche, Megagalin Zechut Ayadei Zakai, we give them a place in the world, a place that's eternal. Someone who, through his Ra, causes evil, so the Chovah that we have to know, that there are elements of bad associated with Shabbat, that there's an Indian of Chiyavis and Sila and so on. That's associated forever in our minds with someone, the Mekoshesh. And it was Nichtav Ayadav. So it's a Chova Ayadei Chayav.
But don't we usually bring like Pesach Sheni and Nafrachot, because those are both Moshe. So, it's just interesting to bring Mekoshesh.
Yeah. Because it was Lara, in other words, every element gets its place.
Maybe that's not. And it's not one of the precious you think of that Moshe has to ask. And it is, and Tosca was there for it, some precious.
Yeah, I understand. If you hold that. Okay, so now Moshe continues, and he seems to contradict himself. He says, Va'atzavet shoftechem be'itahim. And I commanded your judges at that time, but on the other hand, he says, "Vasave etchem be'etahi." So, was the tzivui of the dinim of shoftim, well, to whom was that addressed exactly? I mean, was he addressing it to Bezdin, and that means that Bezdin had to see to it that they had a responsibility to give over the way in which a tzivur needs to deal with din, whether they like it or not? On the other hand, it says Vatzaveh Chem, which means that I told the Tzivur something in the opposite direction. Well, who's really was the one that was responsible over here? It says the Gemara, both are true. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Smalai, Azharah Tzivur, שתהי אימת דיין עליהם, ועזרה לדיין שיסבור את הציבור. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanding the Tzibur as to how to relate to the Beis Din, and that they have to treat a Dayan with the sense of his representation of Din. So he needs to represent Ima. Whereas the Dayan needs to be Sovel the Tzibur, so that even if the Tzibur is acting in ways that are absolutely intolerable, and he'd like to just shut them up in the courtroom and say, alright, enough, you know, you're in contempt of court. Once he's in contempt of course the guy shuts his mouth and doesn't say what he ought to say either. So this is an azora that they have to be sovel, at kama. How much do they have to tolerate? Omra b'chanan, v'tem rabbi shabtai, like exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu did. Kasher yisaho menet ayonek. So just like if somebody is carrying a small nursing child, and the child tears off your yarmulke, or your glasses, or pokes you in the eye, you don't take the kid and throw him off. Right? You manage to hold him. So the same thing is true of a Dayan. You know, the people may be absolutely horrific, and you know, it's the Torchachem, Masachem, Rivchem, and I can't take it. But that's how it goes. Once you're a Dayan, that's what you have to take.
That's what
Moshe
asked for,
which is the right. So he couldn't do it alone, he said. Right. Now, another contradiction is when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Yoshua, initially he tells him, Ki atatavo et ha'amazeh. Atatavo et means you will come with these people, but not that you will lead these people. And then later on, in the same, sounds like the same discussion, it says, Ki ata tavi et b'nei Yisrael. There it says, you will bring them, which means that you're in charge. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan, look carefully at the pasuk, and you'll see that one was said by Moshe, and the other one was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the first one said, Asher nishba Hashem. So he says, "Elorot Hashem nishba Hashem la'avotechem." The second one says, "Elorot Hashem nishba ati la'avotechem." Obviously, the first one was a message from Moshe to Yoshua, whereas the second one was where Moshe was telling over Yoshua in first person as Hashem was speaking to him. So apparently, Moshe had made a mistake. Moshe had told Yoshua, "Atatavo et, you will come together with," meaning, don't look at this as your sole responsibility. You have to see yourself as part of a comradeship of leadership, of which all of the Zakenim together with you represent a joint leadership. So, Atava Zakenim Shibador Imayan. Whereas when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the message, Amala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't listen to any of that, Toma Kel V'Hachal Katkadam. Take a stick and bash them over the head if they don't come your way. Dabar Echad Lador, we have one Daber for a door, one leader for a generation. Vein Shnei Dabarim Lador, there's no such thing as leading by consent with some kind of panel. We need to have leadership, and leadership demands that you take control. No, this is talking about in terms of the leading the Zakenim, not in terms of the Tircha of the Tzibur. It's a whole different thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was actually lowering the level of the malchus of Yoshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that, no, he has to act indeed like a melech, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did. Tana. And another practice says, Zimun Bishlosha. Now, what does that mean, Zimun Bishlosha? I mean, if you're talking about Birkat Zimun, well, there's a practice that mentions both. Zima, Zimun, U Birkat Zimun Bishlosha. And don't try to tell me that means Birushik on the Farish. My Zimun, Birkat Zimun. Because just to make it very clear, the Brisa says, Zimun b'shlosha, Birkat Zimun b'shlosha. That should handle that kind of nonsense. Elamai Zimun, there's two different issues here. Zimun means, Azmun Eladim, it's a summons. And what it's saying is that a summons must be signed, or must be in the name of three judges. Not that you have an individual judge that is summoning somebody to court. He doesn't have to respond to an individual. The other one, Rabbi Hani Beit Talasa Dayani. You get three judges. The Yasve, they're sitting in court, and a messenger is sent to summon someone to the court. The other shliach of Beit Din, that messenger comes to that person and he says over so and so has summoned you to court, mentioning one of the dayanim. The Amar Mipu Medechad Lo Maklum. That's not a court summons. The Amar Mishmei Dekulo. I say it in the name of the court. But Hani Mida Below Yuma Dabina, that's only if the summons was given on any day other than Monday and Thursday. But if it's a Yom HaDin in which the courts are in session, then any Shliach of Beis Din is assumed to be speaking in the name of a court that is currently in session. And then, Letlanba, doesn't matter how it's phrased, he's clearly coming as a messenger of the court, and it's a full summons.
Yeah,
we're a fighter, Beis Din.
Sorry? Hazmon al-Adin, signed by one person.
Yeah, well, you were talking about an oral Hazmon al-Adin. Anyway, it doesn't really need to. A written Hazmon al-Adin has to be the name of the three judges.
That halacha today, too?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it said the court of Munsi or whatever. You know. Beis Din HaKadosh.
Exactly what that was.
Well, you may be talking about as a case of a zavlag, where someone was borer a particular dayan, and that dayan is telling him to be borer another dayan. Maybe that's what you're referring to as one.
I've heard of cases where one drops in and tries to get
him. Okay, but then it could be not as an actual hazman of a din. It's there's a question of a rov trying to establish what. Yeah. Tashlumi keifel. Now, so this ends now the sugya that we've had here for the past day and a half about how it is that the dayan has to view the din and how he has to view the tzibur and how the tzibur has to view the dayan. Now we're getting back into the next case of the Mishnah, which talks about tashlumi kefil and tashlumi arba v'chamisha, which is a whole different sug of law that involves dinei knasot, in which somebody is not paying back momon hamishtalem barosh. He's paying back penalties. So Sholach le Rav Nachman bar Chista le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Yelamdenu Rabenu. Dinei Knesot bekama. How many judges are required to be done dinei Knesot? What? My coming by, I understand why he never learned the Mishnah. I mean, anan tanan. Bishlosha. His question is, Yachid Mumche coming by. In other words, we know that the elements of the Mishnah don't really reflect exactly what the halacha is out in the field here. Because we've already seen Dine Mamonut B'Shlosha, and according to some, that meant Dine Mamonut Avodot V'Halvot, and it really didn't mean B'Shlosha. It meant B'Shlosha who aren't Mumchim, or it meant maybe even a Yachid Mumcha. Now, that's the question. How to understand the question here is not so pashut. Because you see, remember that Rashi learned all along that the question of Dayan, of a Dayan who's a Yachid Mumcha, is dependent
try it.
I have just injected you.
Toothpicks in my
is dependent on the question of whether Shloisha is the Oraisa by Hedos Valvos, which in turn is dependent on Iru Parshias. So the whole idea of having anything less than three, according to Rashi, was if you hold that there's no Yeruv Parshias Pasukim. But the problem is that you can't say that could possibly apply to Dinei Knesset, because if you consider where the Elohim is written, it's written in Tashlumei Kefil. That's where it appears over there, was by Torah Tainas Gana. Yishalem Shnayim L'Reyehu. And that's the Asher Yashin Elohim. That's where it says Elohim. As opposed to the question of Hodot Ba'avot, which is Ikesef Talveh Ami, where the Elohim applies only if there's Iruv Parshion. So we have a real problem here. Because the Gemara, according to Rashi, should not even consider the possibility that there's not a Diyaraisa of requiring Shloisha, requiring Mumchen, according to him. There shouldn't really be any opening for saying that there should be an acceptance of a Yachid Mumcha. Or for that matter of Shalosh Adyotos, because it would be the same general question. They would both be takonas, so to speak, of, okay, how far did we demand to go beyond the Diyaraisa? Where the Diyaraisa wasn't Machayavas, but we wanted to make sure that it would be easier to get money and so on and so forth. So difficult to understand precisely what the question is here according to Rashi. But thinking Tosafos' approach, and then the question becomes very clear. It was Tosafos' learning all along that these halakhos were set even on the tzad that Iruv Parshiyos Katuvka. We could have takanot, the Rabbanan, that would open up the door also for the same idea of Lotin Odelet is Nehlovin, to have a Yachid Mumcha. And then the question over here would be whether we would consider penalties as being something that's important to open the door for, or whether, since, look, a penalty is a penalty, the world's not going to come to an end if people don't collect penalties. I mean, as long as they're able to collect the money that's due them, which that would be just a simple civil suit. You owe me so much money. So there would be the question of whether we made the same takonis for Dine Knossos. But certainly Dine Knossos Midiraisa would require the Shloisha Dayanim. Omar Leh, so Reb Nachman Bar Yaakov responded, Kini Tua, that too we have learned. Because it says, Tashlume Kepa v'tashlume arba'a v'chamisha b'shlosha. Now I ask you, the meaning of shlosha is what? My shlosha. Ilema shlosha had yotot. What do you think shlosha means? It means shlosha in the same way that we were ready to accept hodot, ba'alva'ot, and open up the door to make life easier. You see, again, that's our question. So you think that we made life easier for people to be tovei adine knosos by allowing shlosha had yotot? Amar avua da'avuch mishmei rav, your own grandfather, quoted Rav as saying, that afilu asara vein had yotot suing the dine knosos. You could have 10 judges. They can't judge Dine Knossos. If they're at Yotot, you need mumchim, literal mumchim, not mumchim l'rabim, which would mean, well, where the rabim treat the guy, so to speak, as if he's a mumcha, as if he had smicha, real smicha, which he doesn't. But here we're saying, we're talking about mamish mumchim. That means you need to have people who were nismach ayadei Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, dor achar dor. And otherwise, it's Sulun Dine Knossos. The only way that we can still do Dine Knossos is if we do Shlichutayu Kavdina. So we have certain cases where we say that the Bezdin appointed rights to act on their behalf. It's like we have certain things that were done knowing that Smicha was dying out and that we needed to have a Bezdin, like, you know, Kiddush HaChodesh, things like that, that were Kavua Mirosh. Okay, so here we do the shlichut, but certainly there's no din of having less than a shlosha mumchim.
But actually, the knas is determined in the Torah.
Again, you're making the same mistake, that the point over here is the judgment element. The point over here is the representation of that power of din. What represents that in the world? We're not interested in seeing to it that things work out okay. In the same way that you can't go into a Goyesha court and say, well, this court deals entirely al pi dinei hatzeira. So it will work out exactly the same way if I go to this court, if I go to the Jewish court. One is a violation of all the creation stands for. It's the equivalent of avodah zarah. And the other one is the process of din. So that too, that's what we're looking at. Din isn't something that just because I know the way it's supposed to be, therefore I can say it. So that smichut is essentially the ongoing presence of Kabbalah Satayra in the din. And that's why it's Le'elohimu and so on. Elohim Yitzav Ba'adateh, the whole idea is it's the constant presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is why yesterday we saw all of those strange references to the relationship of the Dayan to the Beit HaMikdash itself. The Asherah next to this Be'ah is so far-fetched. I mean, what are we talking about? Hashem Be'chal Kacho. But Mitato Shel Shlomo, that's the idea. Is that that's not a representation. The reality of the ongoing presence of creation and law derives from the presence of the Shekhinah itself. And that ultimately means you're redefining the Beis HaMikdash. You're putting somebody in there that doesn't belong in Din. You might as well be planting an Asherah next to the Mizbeah. So we view this very literally. The Chachamim Omri, Motzi Shem Ra Be'esrim U'Shlosha. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that Motzi Shem Ra requires 23, which is very strange. Well, why in the world? Because what? Because Sheyesh Bo Dinei Misa. Who cares? I mean, but the Yeshua's in the Farshas. Am I having? I mean, this is not talking. I mean, obviously, if we're dealing with a case where we actually have Dinei Nefashot, so it's Dinei Nefashot. I mean, when you talk about Motzi Shemra, you mean Motzi Shemra. That we're dealing with the question of whether the man is supposed to be paying his wife a ketubah or not. I mean, we're talking about a few hundred bucks here. We're not talking about killing anybody.
Her reputation is like that.
That's all very nice on a moral level, but it's not that's not the issue here. But it still does not the equivalent of Dinei Nefashot. So who cares? Am I having? Who cares whether the case, theoretically, in other circumstances, with other witnesses, would have involved Dinei Nefashot? Amar Ula, the Choshishin L'Laz, coming from that. The Machlokis over here is, Rashi has a strange pshat, which he's forced into by assuming that the meaning of Dinei Mamonot here, with the Motzi Shemra, is the question of whether the man is going to pay the ketubah or not. Therefore, the only way to understand laws, and generally laws means bad things, saying that that's a motzi laws ala cherim, that's a motzi laws ala rishon. It means like a shame ra, an undeserved shame ra. Here, that doesn't make any sense. The only way to understand the choshishin laws, according to Rashi, would be that the word gets out, meaning once somebody is claiming that I didn't find Betulim, then he's not saying I know anything about what happened, but I mean that's scandalous, and he wants to divorce his wife, and he doesn't want to pay the ketubah, and he doesn't want to pay the ketubah, and everybody's talking about it. Chances are that if there was actually znut involved, that witnesses will come forward. So get the message through the word is out. That's the sense of the laws over here. So Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir says three, says, look, if the case is not a case that involves a tviyah of nefashot, then it's not Dinei Nefashot. And in Choshin La, we're not afraid it will suddenly turn into Dinei Nefashot by having witnesses hear about it. Rabbanan Savar, Choshin La, the Rabbanan are worried that, well, but witnesses might show up, and therefore, we're going to have to get a whole different Besdin together, and so on. So therefore, let's have the Besdin correct in the first place. Rabba says, "Kuli amal alaz lokash." Nobody believes that if the band is not bringing witnesses, that witnesses are going to come forth somehow, hearing about this. The Hacha, the Choshishin,
23 of us in advance. Criticizing it, it's almost unfair for the man thereafter.
The woman thereafter?
The woman thereafter. It's almost unfair
there
because it's like a predecision.
That, well, it's saying you never can know.
Yeah, but if they have 23 before it's really required, then it's sort of saying this woman is likely to be guilty.
Well, it's just saying that this case might involve a capital issue. I mean, why would you have to say that?
Why?
By definition,
they're already creating a rumor about the woman. Creating a situation there that may not exist at all.
That was
like being marginalized.
Okay, but we're not talking about that kind of laws. It's a nice point, but in terms of the din, it's really not an issue for us. Either the case does involve the Nefashot or it doesn't. If you hold that the possibility of involvement in the Nefashot means you take into consideration up front, then you do. Not the impact of that on somebody's life, unfortunately, as in any case where somebody's hauled into court.
You don't have to get the person to a great degree like that.
Look, the din of Motzi Shemra always, and that's why Motzi Shemra is the essential case of Motzi Shemra. And the penalty for Motzi Shemra against the husband is the model for the concept of being Motzi Laz against someone. So the case involves laws. That's the issue over here. Now, who's going to end up holding the bag? Is he going to be penalized for bringing this case? Or is she going to be penalized for being found guilty? That's a separate issue. But this case involves exactly that problem up front. So Rava says, our only chashash over here is, because shimach lo dan shel rishonim kamif l'get. The case over here is that the man actually did bring it beyond mishpatit against his wife, who he claims was Mizana. So they bring together a Beit Din, and now he can't produce the witnesses. So he had made this big fuss, which was, as you're pointing out, just part of another way to ruin his wife's reputation. And now, the Beis Din is going home. So he says, and again, according, this is Rashi, he says, well, he got my 23 together, Lameda Dini de Pashas, the Yivdud, and now everybody's going home. Vamanali says, well, wait a minute. Dayanu Lemia Dini de Pashas, Dini Mamanut, I mean, at least, well, let's get through the Ketuvah problem over here. I mean, I want to be pottered from the Ketuvah, so how about if three guys stay behind, and we can have that din? So that's the question over here. Once a Beis Din was gathered together for a purpose, can you say, well, just three people remain? Or do you say, having gathered them for this purpose, I can't now just, you know, well, what do I care about the judges that were sitting here? Let them go home. That's the question of Chashin L'Chvodam Sharishonim. So how do I handle the dignity of the Dayanim? Say, I'm only interested in these three guys, and you go home? Or do we actually take the court that was originally constituted to judge the case and now judge Dinei Mamonos in that court, is our question. Now again, Tosfos does not like this whole idea for many reasons. First of all, Motzi Shemra is introduced in the Mishnah in the context of Dinei Knossos, which means that we're talking about the 100 shekel that we're going to be fining the Motzi Shemra. Just like Kepho, just like Dalad Lehei, we're not talking about the question whether he's paying a ketubah or not. That's not the issue here. Secondly, what do you mean the ketubah? Why in the world would he need a bezin to say he's potter for paying the ketubah? Was somebody suing him for a ketubah? Was that it? Who made that an issue? Who ever heard of getting a psak that you don't have to pay the ketubah? Don't pay the ketubah. If she now sues you, that'll be a different case. So then you'll deal with it if it comes up. I mean, you can't say a man called the court together to issue a court order. Yeah, that's big too. Because I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? The whole thing is crazy. And laws. I mean, who ever heard of using laws in a way that it just means information without having any implications of nastiness? Laws always means nastiness. So therefore, Tosis learns that Motzi Shemra means a tfiyah mishpatit against the husband, who had claimed that his wife was Mizana. And now the father, remember the case of Nara Amurasa, now the father is demanding the 100 shekel. We're talking about the element over here of the knas against Amotzi Shemra. And that's the problem over here. So the Chashina Lalaz means that in a case where the Baal had actually brought witnesses, and then it turned out that those witnesses could not stand up against the questioning. And now we're going to say, okay, fine. So now he's finished. Now he's shown to be the liar. Now he's going to have to pay his 100 shekel. So the question is, in this case, who is going to leave and so on? Right? And I said, the laws is not the laws of the Aiden. The laws is the laws of the Dayanim, is our question over here. Because... Mm-hmm. If we're going to say, let everybody go home over here.
But so, nobody pays us the ball if the husband and the father comes out of it. Doesn't pay automatically.
Not necessarily, because you can bring witnesses against his witnesses, not even if it's just Hazon of his witnesses, which already proves that he was being Machazer for Aiden that were Shakronim, and that's Machayavim. Him. Yeah. Yeah. So this is how Tosfos learns the whole sugya.
How did Tosfos get this from? Yes, that Aiden, specific Aiden.
Because he's shown to be a person who's Ozil Basar Aiden, so how does she create?
We don't really care about him.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we care. We see that this tviyah is a lie, and that he brought witnesses that weren't even there. And therefore he was involved in creating a case out of whole cloth. And because of that, he has to pay.
Why 100 shekel, not 200? Do we just assume that he's right in his claim that she's not for two and that
it's not the ketubah. The ketubah is separate. Okay. You'll have to pay the ketubah for sure.
Full 200?
Well, of course, plus whatever else is in the ketubah. Here we're talking about the penalty of the 100.
This thing in particular is the father of
the girl.
The girl is suing
right. Now that right, he started up, he brought witnesses who turned out not to be able to stand up. And now the husband is saying, the father is saying, okay, well, let's get the 100 shekel out of him now.
Then why then would we need the 23 judges?
So this is the question. Hotzi laz al rishonim. Either in a case where it was hukhash, not huzam, in the case where it was hukhash, let's say everybody goes home, the possibility is that there was nothing wrong with these Adim, they just couldn't, they didn't have the facts well enough. Maybe there were other Adim. So now if other Adim come, now we're going to have to gather together judges, and people will say, now wait a minute, what was wrong with those first people?
First judge.
Yeah, there must be something wrong with them. So the laws over here would be laws against the Dayanim themselves. Not against, not for Adim to come. Okay, fine. So there's a whole different chapter, according to him. And it goes through the entire sugya with this. We're running, sort of running out of time here. So let's continue on with Rashi's chapter. Which one? No, but it's just, the first chapter of always Rashi's. Meisvei. The Chachamim omrim tiva'o mamon b'shlosha, tiva'o nefashot b'esrin b'shlosha. By the way, this is another one of Tosas' rise against Rashi, because tiva'o means that she sued him. Whereas the way Rashi is learning is tiva'o mamon, if he was tovei mamon, instead of said tiva'a, meaning because according to Rashi, he just cancel out the ketubah. But Rashi seems to be reading as tovu mamon, meaning the case in general was a case of mamon. So then, it requires three judges. If it was a case of nefashot, it requires 23 judges. Now, according to Rabbah, who just said the question was about whether we're chayish over here to the kavod harishonim, so fine, this makes sense, because we could say it means like this. If he had originally just called the court together in order to just get out of paying the ketubah, so then b'shlosha. If, however, he had begun the case, tavo nefashot, and now he's saying, well, okay, so at least give me my tzak, I don't have to pay the ketubah, so then afilu mamon, besrim shlosha. So according to Rabbah, this writes a big sense. But according to Ula holds, we will never, if we're chayish lalaz, even if the original suit was for mamon, we're afraid of the laws that would give information. That will get to the Adim, and they will show up. So there's never a case in which we don't require Eslim Rishlosha. So how does he understand that? Omar Rava, says Rava, well, I answered that on behalf of Ula. Not on my own. It was Aniba Arisha Bechabura, and we needed the lion of our group over here. It's Agimnan, and that's, of course, referring to Rukhiya Baravi. Hokumayat Kinan Shehevi Habal Adim Shazin Ta. It's talking about that the Baal had actually brought witnesses that she had been Mizana. The father comes along now and brings witnesses that is Mezim, the Ede Habal. That's the point over here. So now we have an actual Hazama. Now the Hazama, we no longer have to be Choshesh for laws that other witnesses are going to be coming, because we've already seen what's happening over here. This guy had arranged Ede's Sheker. And therefore, we will not believe them anyway, even in a tzvi'ah to be mafsid ksuba, obviously. So the question over here is, now he needs to pay his 100 shekel to the father in this case. This is even according to Rashi's pshat, because we're talking about Hazoma. So if he has to pay the 100, now here Rashi is motive we're talking about now, the tzvi'ah mamon over here is indeed the tzvi'ah mamon of the father of the woman, the father of the bride, against the husband. That's the shot. And there, of course, Ula also agrees, having no more concern for the appearance of witnesses, having seen that this thing was a manufactured case, now we want to be Tovea the Baal for his 100 shekel. Go right ahead. That's what it's saying. If the tzviah is for Momo, I mean, this is a different case. It's now originally the Baal was suing, and now the Baal is the defendant. It's a different case. Well, what's the problem? Then, of course, it was Bishlosha, like any other Dinei Knesset. That's how Ula would understand this, too. So, Balik vod mamon mi abal, it's Bishlosha. B'makom nefashot, betzri mishlosha. Abai Omar, so if we still have a chashash, that there will be a nefashot, so there wasn't yet now the Azana. So then we would always indeed have to worry about 23, according to Ula. Abaya Omar Abaya says, well, no. I mean, the case is actually a little bit more subtle than that. The Kulayama Chashina Lalaz, Umishub Chodam Shavishonin. If the case were as you had it, then everybody might agree that we have to be chayish and so on. That's not the case. The case over here is the man did bring witnesses. The witnesses testified already in court. And in the course of their testimony, they said that, well, we told her, now don't sleep with that guy, you're going to be in big trouble. That they can have your head for that. But we didn't say how they would have your head. So the Besdin says, well, did you tell her that as a Nara Murasa, there's a Chiv of Skila? Well, no, we didn't say that. I mean, you know, how nasty should we be? So that's the question over here. If you hold that Hatra'ah includes warning someone of what the actual consequences are, in practical terms, they'll have your head. So then it's a Hatra'ah. A general Hatra'ah is not considered to be Hatra'ah. So then that could be the machlokas over here itself. So if you hold that there's still a chiyuv mitah, even though the Edom have come right up and said, we're talking about a case where there was no hatra'ah about skila. So then you'd of course would need 23. If the moment Edom say that, we know that we're not talking about a capital case then. These are the witnesses, and they say that they messed it up basically. They never told her what was going to happen to her. So then you don't need 23. And that's what the machlokas is over here. And it's Hani Tanoim. These are the Tanoim. The Tanya of Ashar Kol Chayve Mitot Sheba Torah. This is the middle of a discussion about a Mesit. A Mesit is very unusual in that he doesn't require Hatra'ah. Doesn't require real Hatra'ah. And that's because the Torah goes out of its way to say, don't have any pity on this guy. Don't be merciful towards this guy. Get him. So what we do is, instead of giving him hatra'ah, we say simply, "Vaheichna zovet avinu shebashamayim v'na'avod eitz v'even." The guy says, "No, kacha roi lanu," and so on. That is hatra'ah. He doesn't have to be, doesn't even have to suspect that we're lying in wait and we've got a tape recorder going. And it's just fine. So other chayvei mitot shebatorah. Of course, the truth is, as Tosafot points out, naturally we need Eida for a Mesit too. Eida is the marker of 23. But we don't need the Hitzilu Ha'eida. So that, even though that doesn't make practical differences in terms of 23, because it's the basis of 23 is V'shaptu Ha'eida, the Hitzilu Ha'eida, so you might think that it would change the number. It doesn't change the number. Now, having once defined the court of Dinin and Pashot of 23, it doesn't matter whether in this particular case we require the Yitzilu Ha'eda. But nonetheless, there is a need in other cases for an actual Yitzilu Ha'eda. They need to work their heads off at figuring out how to get this guy out of being killed. And he needs Edim V'Hatra'ah, real Hatra'ah. V'Ach Yodi'u Shu Chayav Mita B'Beidin. Now here the Tanakhama says, until they warn him that he's going to be chayav misa, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough. Ach yodiu be'eze mitahu ne'erag. He has to know what his chiyav will be, and therefore the machlokas here would in fact be the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether this is a capital case or not a capital case. That's all. It's just merubas in this way, so that what the Chachamim were saying is, being as we hold that you don't have to say what the misa was. So this is a capital case. Therefore, you need 23. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, you only need 3 because it's not a capital case. Right? That's another approach. Rav Papa says, I got a simpler solution for you. I mean, once you're willing to deal with the issue of Hatra'ah, instead of making it a function of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, why don't you simply say that the woman over here was well-educated? Because she was a Isha Chavera. And she didn't get Hatra'ah at all. And the Edom say up front, well, we witnessed it, we didn't say a word. And the question over here is a broader question. It's the Machloket, Kamitzvagevet Plukta, to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda v'Rabbanan. To Tanya Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda omer Chaver, Eino Tzarich Hatra'ah, someone who is knowledgeable, does not require Hatra'ah. L'fi Shelo Nitna Hatra'ah L'Hatchin, Ben Chodeg L'Nezid. So somebody who can claim, well, I didn't realize that before the chuppah I wasn't allowed to sleep with anybody. I thought that's only after the chuppah. And now it's a whole year until the chuppah. I mean, I thought that was the whole point. Like, if you're used to the idea slowly, you know. So okay, so if she's not a chavera, then she could say that. And there'd be no way to be mechayev her in Beit Din. But she is an Eishes chavera. So she knows, we know that she's educated. She knew perfectly well that what she was doing was sweeping around as an eshetish, and therefore she is chayevet, even without atra'ah. So if you hold that the only purpose of atra'ah is not the way we pass in halacha, the concept of atra'ah, fine, could be in terms of shogeg amazing, but there is another element of atra'ah, isn't there? Which is the question of how much awareness and choice was involved in your act. Or how much just, how much fantasy. No, I'm saying the other level of Hatra'ah is we want to know at the time that you were fully cognizant of what you were doing. Not simply that you were aware theoretically that such a thing is mutter or aser. So it needs the commitment. Okay, so then over here we would still need Hatra'ah even if she knows. That doesn't mean she's fully cognizant. Same thing, if the concept of Hatra'ah is only lafkim and shogeg lemeizid, so then we have over here a capital case without Hatra'ah. Therefore, says the Rabbanan, well, we would need 23, because after all, this is a dinei nefashot. So it really turns out we're not talking about the issue of Motzi Shemra per se, we're talking about another question, which has become embedded in the Mishnah here under the guise of Motzi Shemra.